Yeah, so today it's going to be a very amazing day because I think just now during the time of worship, you can really feel God's presence here. How many of you felt God's presence here? Yeah, so it's wonderful when we worship God and then you feel God's presence here because it's amazing. And you know that, you know, when His presence is here, it's always fullness of joy, fullness of peace. And there's freedom, there's liberty in His presence. Amen? All right, so, well, I was just planning to say, hi, I'm Andy, I'm from the community church. I'm a community pastor, then suddenly he's going to say so many things. Okay, yeah, anyways, oh, he's there, not there. Yeah, today, let's start with a word of prayer before we begin. Okay, Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, God, that your presence is here. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are constantly speaking to all of us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will be the one who speaks. Let every word comes from you, that it will enter into our minds, our hearts, and let it bear fruit, O God. 100-fold, 50-fold, whatever it is, O God, in our hearts, that it will convict us, because it is your word. And I pray, God, even as today, as we talk about your word so clearly, I pray, God, that your spirit will just open up our own spirit man to receive your word. So we thank you, we praise you, and Holy Spirit, have your way in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, today's title is The Next Giant Slayers. Okay. Yeah, so The Next Giant Slayers, basically we're talking about David. And actually the passage of scripture we're going to talk about a little bit today is when the time that he's actually getting the end of his reign already. So towards the end. And then when I read through this, it's like, wow, it's so amazing. It's not only David is a giant slayer, but there's so many people around him was a giant slayers. So and I'm thinking back again for us in our lives and in SIBKL, man, we got to be giant slayers. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's begin. So the last four chapters of 2 Samuel talks about several events and mostly transpired during the final years of David. So we're going to look at 2 Samuel 21, verse 15 to 22. Let's all read together, okay? Read from your spirit, man, and declare the word of God. Hallelujah. Verse 15, let's start. Once again, there was a battle between the Philistines and Israel. David went down with his men to fight against the Philistines, and he became exhausted. And Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, whose bronze spearhead weighed 300 shekels and who was armed with a new sword, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to David's rescue. He struck the Philistine down and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, saying, "Never again will you go out with us to battle, so that the Lamb of Israel will not be extinguished." In the course of time, there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob. At that time, Sibekai the Hushathite killed Saph, one of the descendants of Rapha. In another battle with the Philistines at Gob, Elhanan, son of the Jair, the Bethlehemite, killed the brother of Goliath the Gittite, who had a spear with a shaft like a weaver's rod. In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in all. He also was descended from Rapha. He taunted Israel. Jonathan, son of Shimea, David's brother, killed him. These four were descendants of Rapha in Gath, and they fell at the hands of David and his men. Wow, it's so amazing. Remember, David took 5 stones when he fought Goliath. He only used how many stones? 1. The other 4, I think, is spiritually being used here. Slay the other 4s over here. All right, and this records what we have just read in the event of victories after victories of David's life. There's so many wars he fought, and yet he won so many. And this so-called giants were described here. And there's also different places in the Bible that actually spoke about them in Genesis, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, all referred to Rephaim or Anakim. Now, we're not going to go into this all this giant stuff. You can read about it. You can think about it, you know, on your own time. All right? So, but there's not much else explained about giants in the Bible. But basically, they're huge. They're large, okay? And then they're kind of related to one another. So actually, these 4 descendants that you see here in this passage that we have just read, they are actually relatives of Goliath. Okay? So in the part in 1 Samuel chapter 17,
that's where the battle took place, where David fought Goliath. And that was the place that actually David won over Goliath. And that was the first giant slain. After that, this is the second time it was mentioned that four of this giant was slain totally. Okay? Now, we're going to look back at what we have read just now. In verse 15, it says, David went down with his men to fight against Philistines. And he became exhausted, tired. I think by then, David was quite an elderly person already. So he was tired. He could be physically tired because I don't think a man, an older person would last that long in battle. You know, he was so tired, he was exhausted. This word exhausted, what it means? It means that what? You reach your limits. Your resources have been used up. Your reserves already ran out. That means, in other words, Malaysian language called tayar pancet lah. Yeah, that's what it means. You've given everything already and this is it. You know, and when we read the next part of it, it says that when Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of Rapha, who was bronze spear, who weighed 300 shekels, who was armed with a new sword. A new sword means what? He crafted that sword for the purpose of killing David. That's why it's new. And he's like, out in the battlefield, I'm going to test out my sword on the person that I'm going to slaughter, which is David. Guess what? David was so exhausted. I think he probably on the ground or just panting away, fighting. And he had his mighty man that came to him. He stepped up and rescued David. And after that, they said, no, you cannot go out to battle anymore because we don't want the Lamb of Israel being extinguished. So the four of them went on to fight in different battles. And every one of them, they slayed the giants. If you look at the David's next giant slayers, a chart right here, Abishai slayed Ishbi-benob. Sibekai slayed Saph. Elhanan slayed the guy called Lami, the brother of Goliath. And Jonathan slayed the giant with 24, limbs, or whatever you call that, fingers and toes. But there's no name for him, okay? So I'm wondering, between the time where David, when he slayed Goliath, till now when these four people slayed the giants, what has happened to these four people? How did it happen? Because you know why? When you read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, you will read that the children of Israel were cowards. They were so afraid of the Philistines. They were so afraid, even Saul himself was afraid. So we're going to look back at 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is where it all began for David and his men. So in 1 Samuel 17, you know the story that it was the Philistines were at war, and every day Goliath would step up and taunt the children of Israel, right? And he would say, send me a man to fight, and I'll fight with him. Whoever wins, the other people will become his slaves. And that's what the taunt was. Every day, this goes out to the children of Israel. Not one person stepped up and said anything. During that time, remember what the Bible said about Saul. Saul was a head and shoulder above everyone else. Correct? Do you know an average person, Israelite, during those days, they were probably around 5 feet. I got like my height like that, lah. You know, so I can become a Jew. but the Bible said Saul was very tall. About probably a head higher than this will be like this or more. So if Goliath were to challenge the children of Israel, who do you think is the most likely person to step out and challenge back Goliath? Saul. But he didn't. He stayed in his tent. He was a coward. Zero bravery in him, zero courage. And he was acting in fear. And let me just read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, all right, 25. It says, now the Israelite has been saying, do you see how this man keep coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. You know what did the king said? The king will give a great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel. Why, you super chicken man, you. What is this? a giant taunt the children of God. You as a king, you back down. What more? You want to please people? I give you reward. You go and fight, not me. I'm the king. That ought not to be. So when you see that, you would know that actually there are things that we can learn from David, from Saul. Saul was that kind of a man. The first thing we see, how the people, the mighty men from David became who they were, that they could slay giants, was that number one, they are following the right leader. I think in our lives, we need to make sure we follow the right leader. Saul was a coward. David came against Goliath in the name of the Lord, his God. He's not a coward. His faith was so strong in the Lord. And remember, David is only about 15 years old when he stepped up. What gave David the courage? What made him the way he is? His faith is so in God. And if you follow this story, you will notice the people, the children of Israel, after Goliath was slain, they actually followed David. They noticed that this is a man with a difference. He can be our leader. In verse 16, in chapter 18, 1 Samuel says, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he led them in their campaigns. I want to say something to all of us here today is that make sure you follow the right leader. We have leaders in our lives, many. Make sure the person you follow, they are the right one. I didn't say perfect, I said right. None of us will be perfect leaders, but we can be the right leader. You want to follow somebody? Follow the right person. What does it mean to follow the right person? A good example, you look at David's life. He had courage, confidence, his faith is in God. Look for the people who are like that. Don't look for somebody whose courage and confidence waver in the face of the world. David had compassion for others. Ask yourself, the leader that I'm following, does he value people? The leader that I'm following, can I see God in his life? The leader that I'm following, does he walk the talk? Does he walk the word of God? Is that the kind of leader I'm following? Ask yourself, how does a leader who loves God looks like? Don't just blindly follow leaders. Sometimes it is so easy to follow leaders because they're so charismatic. They're so dynamic. They can speak well. They can, you know, strategize well. At the end of the day, what is God like in this person's life? I want to follow this leader because he imitates the Holy Spirit. That should be the right leader that we follow. Tell your young people, tell your children, follow the right person. When you follow the wrong person, you end up like Saul. You follow the right person, you end up like David. And that's what we should be doing. The right leader helps you grow. The right leader helps to disciple you so that you can grab your God-given divine destiny. That's the right leader. The right leader disciple you to become more and more like Christ, not to become more and more like him. Because many leaders want to make people to look like him, talk like him, behave like him, but that's not the right leader. The right leader always point you to God, disciple you so that you become like Christ, not like that guy, so that you can achieve God's given divine destiny for your life. The wrong leader will always lead you in the wrong path. So make sure you always, always follow the right leader. Now, how did David turn the people into mighty men? Because they followed the right leader. The first thing is, actually, the David's mighty men, they are not always mighty. They were miserable first. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, it says this, all those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. Actually, when you think about the four guys who slayed the giant and all the other, there's so many mighty men of David, they all don't start that way. They started something like this, miserable. They started with in debt. They started with distressed, discontented. And that's how sometimes we look like, you know, in church. We especially for leaders, you see, ayo, this person, how to help leh? Sometimes we say like, ayo, no hope already lah. Sometimes we look at young people especially. This one, I know lah, he will turn it up to become another person that he reminds you of. I think we should not think of them that way. Because David had compassion on the people and said, hey, I know you're in distress. I know you're in debt, you're discontented, you're everything. But yet, I know I serve a God that will have a breakthrough in your life. I serve a God that for sure, if you follow the faith that you have in this God, He will turn your life around. I serve a God that whether it's children, whether it's teenager, that they will come to become the greatest man that they are supposed to be. Because that's how David's men were. I tell you, it's so amazing that from here, sorry guys, there's somebody talking in my monitors. I could hear people chatting. And from there, the miserable men turned into mighty men. And in 2 Samuel 23, it says this, these are the names of David's mighty warriors. Those are the people who were miserable, the 400 that followed him, right? It says, Josheb, Bathsheba, the Tekemonite, the chief of the three, he raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Raised his spear, killed 800 men in one encounter. Next to him was Eliza, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. One of these three mighty warriors, he was with David when he taunted the Philistines together at Padamin for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eliza stood his ground and struck down Philippine steel. His hand grew tired and froze to the sword. As another encounter, Shammah. Israel's troops fled, but Shammah took his hand in the middle of the field and defended it and struck down the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great victory. The troops fled. Israel's retreated, but the mighty men stood their ground. I think this is a call for our church to raise mighty men like that. People who would slay giants and stand their ground. Whoever retreats, doesn't matter. I will stand my ground. Because I am a giant slayer. Our children will be a giant slayer. Our young people will be giant slayers. Our young adults will be giant slayers because they stand their ground. Because they know this is the living God that I serve because I'm following the right leader. Leaders, who do you follow? You follow the Holy Spirit. You follow the Holy Spirit, not men's voice. For too long, sometimes leaders always follow men's voice. But there's a voice that the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. It's a voice that the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You follow the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we lead people. So the children of Israel did all retreat, but the mighty men stood their ground. They did great exploits. And if you look at just now what we have read in earlier chapters in verse 22, they actually did mighty great exploits compared to David himself. David himself slay one giant, but his mighty men slayed four. And as you follow the leader, you know that, hey, I'm going to follow God exactly to where He's going to bring me. Secondly, face your giants. David faced Goliath head on with a faith in God. You either face your giants in fear or you face your giant in faith. Saul faced the giant in fear. David faced him in faith. Because why? Saul was a coward. He retreated. He stayed in the tent. He didn't know what to do. He just wait. But David, no. David came up. He stepped up because no, you cannot talk about my God this way. You cannot defy the living God in this manner. Those people who face the giants in fear, this is something that will happen to you. There are four things over here. If you face people in fear or you face giants in fear, you become a man pleaser, just like what Saul become. Offered prizes to people to make people happy. Income tax also don't need to pay. Get to marry my daughter some more. Wow, who don't want? Everybody also want. But why? Why is he running away from his responsibility? Why is he running away from his divine calling? So Saul was a man pleaser. If you see, people who operate in fear, they will always operate in worldly wisdom.
Saul brought about his armor. David, here, you wear my armor. Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him, a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. Why? Saul forced it on him. You want to go out to war? Yeah, you got to do this. Why? It's not David. It's Saul's wisdom. I cannot go in this, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. He was led by God. He was led by, hey, David, this is what you do every day of your life. This is when the Holy Spirit empowered him when he slayed the lion and the bear. This is leading by the Holy Spirit. He took on the lead from the Holy Spirit. I cannot go in your worldly wisdom suggestion, but I went on. This is what God is telling me to do. It looks a bit foolish, but yet it is what God's asking David to do. He's led by God's Spirit. If you're led by fear, you'll be dismayed, you'll be afraid. Just like Saul. But David, bold, courageous, he did mighty great exploits. And it says here in verse 45, David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I give your carcasses to the Philistine army, to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those who gather here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. That's David. Because why? He moved in faith. You know, in our lives, sometimes it's like that. We move in fear more than we move in faith. We're so scared of what's going to happen, or we're so scared we don't know what's going to happen, and we begin to do many things. God is with me. That's how you operate in faith. Fear produces fearful followers, just like the children of Israel. Everyone was so afraid. And then faith produced faithful followers. Faith produced faith. Fear produced fear. Which one would you choose? Which one would you live in? Which one would you operate in? Which one would you lead your people in? Those of you who are leaders, how would you lead your people? Those of you who are followers, how would you follow? Follow in fear or follow in faith? It's a question you ask. Parents, do you parent with fear or you parent with faith? Do you parent with fear as in like, you know, my child is not like this. My child is not like that. He's not doing this yet. He's not doing that yet. I don't know what's going to happen to my child. I'm so worried for him. He has to be doing this. He has to be following this class. He has to attend this. He has to attend that so that he don't miss out on life. But when it comes to reading the Bible, it's okay. Come to memorize scripture verses, never mind. Come to church. Don't need to come to church. Sometimes come also can, don't come also can. Got activity, go ahead. You follow God in fear or you follow God in faith? Because however you follow God, your children will follow God that way. You follow Him, the Lord, in fear, your children, your young people will follow Him in fear. You follow Him in faith, your young people, your children will follow Him in faith, that they will learn, this is my Father. This is my mother. And I've seen how God worked in their lives. And I will continue to follow God because my faith is in God, not in my mother or father, not even in the church, but it is in God Himself. It's for us to decide. Thirdly, fight for your divine destiny. Every one of us have a divine destiny, whether you like it or not. For David, in 1 Samuel 17, it says, the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. He's the guy who is shouting out to the world, this is my God. That was his divine destiny, to rule and reign Israel.
because God has set him to be that way. All those who gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. David grabbed hold of that divine destiny. He fought for it. You know, I think all of us have this divine destiny, whether you like it or not. Whether you see it or you don't see it, all of us have this divine destiny. And the thing is, we need to fight for it. It don't come by chance. It don't come easily. You know why? I can tell you this. Because the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you. Everything. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy about your family, your children, your marriage, your work. He comes to do that. But Jesus come to give you life and life abundantly. God has given you that divine destiny. Satan is wanting to take your divine destiny away. Parents, hear me well. If you don't have plans for your kids, Satan has plans for your kids. If you don't help your child to find his divine destiny, Satan will help him find Satan's divine destiny for him. Because why? Our children should know the Lord. And that's what it's all about. In the Bible, it's about promises and patterns of God, promises of the Word, patterns of how God functions and how His work is, how He loves the people. Our God is a generational God. And our God don't want to have the devil to steal, kill, and destroy all that He has given to you and your children and your descendants. But the devil wants to take it away. So you got to fight for the divine destiny for your children, for your church, for your family. You cannot be saying, I just let it happen. Okay, you go to church, you follow pastors, this, pastors, that, and that's fine. No. You as a parent, you as a person of the in charge of your house, you got to put your feet down just like the giant slayers, just like the mighty men of David stood their ground when everybody else fled. You need to take on the faith. In faith, I want my child to know who God is. I want my young people in this church to know who God is. I want them to live in faith that this is the God that I serve. I don't care what happens in my life, but I know God is a living God. I don't care what situation that I go through, but no matter how difficult it is, God is still alive. God is still there. He is working when you don't see it. He is working when you don't even feel it, but He's working. And you are in that divine purpose. You cannot let it slip out of your hand. Don't allow the enemy to do that to you. Why? Many times, he just grab it. And we don't fight to bring it back. SIBKL, our call is this, the next gen. We must fight for our next generation, whether the children or the teenagers or young adults, whoever they are. As long as God has bring them to this house, they are the sons and the daughters of this house. They belong to Jesus. And we must fight for their lives, no matter what it is. Fight for them to keep their destiny in God. It's not an easy fight. Do you think the devil will give up so easily on you? No. Even Jesus, when he was tempted, he came back. The devil came back at an appointed time. He will be there, making sure you will fall again and again. So the thing is, how do we fight? There's only one weapon that we can fight with. The Word of God, sword of the Spirit. Fight with the God-given weapon, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And this church, SIBKL, since the day it was started until up till today, the Word of God remains supreme. The Word of God remains the main thing. It will not change forevermore. Every word that is being preached for us from this pulpit, it is as though God is speaking to our church. And we take the word seriously. Because why? Every word you hear is a weapon for you. It's a weapon for your children. It's a weapon for your young people. It's a weapon for you to slay the enemy. The word of God, that's the sword of the Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 21, it says, whoever has my commands and keep them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. You must have the word to keep the word. Do you get it? You got to have the word so that you can keep the word. How to obey the word when you don't have the word? How do you obey the word of God when you don't even read the Bible? You got to have the word so that you can keep the word. You be the doers of the word. And that's exactly what the Bible is saying to us. You know, one thing I always teach children, you must learn to follow instructions. You know, because as they grow older, they become more cooler. Young people, a bit cool already. I don't need one. Anymore. I got a more creative way to do things. But let me tell you something. Instructions is everything in the Bible. God gives us clear instructions to follow. And if we don't learn to follow instructions, how do you think your children will follow instructions? Just like you. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. You understand what I'm saying? The way you read the Bible is the way you do everything else. Now ask your question. Ask yourself, do I really love the Word? Do I really follow what the Word says? Because that's the weapon, you know. Sometimes we are Christian, shout, wah, but then, actually don't have the Word of God. Where's your knife? Where's your dagger? Zero. Don't be Christians who don't have a weapon of God in their hands. How do you know? When you have the Word of God, it's so clear. I cannot make it any more clear. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father. God is with you. Father is with you. And I too will love them and show myself to them. Wow. God revealing to you who He is through His Word. Have His Word. Keep His Word. Do the Word of God. In John chapter 14, 23, it says, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. How does David become strong? David is a man of word, worship, and prayer. Listen, David is a man of word, worship, and prayer. That's why God makes His home with David. If we want God to be in present in your home, you better have word, worship, prayer in your home. You better build your children with word, worship, prayer. You better teach your young people word, worship, prayer. You better teach the young people that, hey, the Word of God is the one that will last you forever. Two things that last forever, souls of men and the Word of God. Nothing else matters. And if it is for us to slay the giant, you need the Word of God. David had faith in who God is. David wrote half of the Psalms. Can you imagine what kind of word, what kind of relationship, what kind of worship that David gives to God? That is your weapon. And we need to teach our children about that. Don't be just hearers of the word, be doers of the word. And that's what wise men does in what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 13, 36, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. It's so clear. I have found a man after my own heart. God says, I found a man after my own heart because he will do everything. The Bible says in just now, we read in John, if you love me, you obey my commands, means you will do everything God asks you to do. You will do what the Bible tells you to do. You will live like what the Bible tells you to live by. You will talk like how the Bible teaches you to talk. Don't follow what the ways of the world, how they talk. Don't follow the ways of the world, how they live their lifestyle. It's different. Yeah, people will call you, hey, you churchy boy, or you churchy girl. But it's okay. I have the living God with me. I have the Word of God with me. I am called the man after God's own heart. It doesn't matter what you call me. It doesn't matter what I'm missing in the world. I have God with me. And that's our divine destiny. These three things. Follow the right leaders. Face your giants. Fight for your destiny. Let me ask you a question. Who will be the next giant slayers? Who will be the next giant slayers? I only one person put up his hand, Renee. Who will be the next giant slayers? Us, you. Yes, the sons and daughters of God.
our sons and daughters of SIBKL will be the next giant slayers. Amen. Now, I want to show you something. I'm going to invite my three kids up here. Okay? Probably you can stand right here. Yeah. Okay, this is... Okay. Ezreal right here. Ezreal's 13. You have your mic. You can talk for yourself, please.
Hi, I'm Abigail. I'm 11 years old.
Hi, I'm Ariel. I am 9 years old.
Okay, yeah. Now, thank you. But the first thing I want you to think is they're not cute. Okay? No, seriously, yeah? Okay, look at me first. I'm cute. They're not cute. Cut it up. Okay, so anyways, what I wanted to say is this. Now, every time we put kids up, we always say, oh, so cute, which is fine, not a problem. But I want you today to look beyond that, okay? Look beyond that. You know why? If we want to say our sons and daughters will be the next giant slayers, then I believe we must impart into their life something that will stay forever. And the Word of God is. Now, they're going to share with you all the scripture verses they memorized, okay? There are a lot more, but we just... This is our regular stuff. All right, so as they say it, you smile at them lah, to encourage them. They're very nervous.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Proverbs 15 verse 3. And now when they saw it, they fell on their face. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies. All around me, therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. In His tabernacle, I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 6. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. Psalm 47, verse 6. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive each one of those who sins against us. And lead us not to the time of trial, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You are the apple of God's eyes. You are the apple of God's eyes. Zechariah 2 verse 8. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. Psalm 139, verse 14. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life, eternal life, eternal life, eternal life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. John 3:16, let me hear You sing it. John 3:16, let me hear You scream it. La 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 la. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Proverbs 22 verse 1.
For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. For God has not
given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. To Timothy, 1:7.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people. 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. Honesty is true, something you should do. Never tell a lie. Show your family why they can trust in you. Because he who speaks true declares righteousness, but a false witness deceives. Proverbs 12:17.
Bon bon ja, bon bon ja.
I may do anything I want,
bon bon ja.
But not everything is good and beneficial for you. 1 Corinthians 10:23. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Matthew 5:16.
I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalm 118:17. No weapon that forms against us shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against us in judgment we do condemn. This is our heritage as servants of the Lord, and our righteousness comes from you, O Lord of hosts. Isaiah 54:17.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Well, now, please understand something. I'm not here to parade my kids. I'm not here to tell you that they can do this and that. But I believe they represent our generation. Amen. I believe they represent every child in this church must have the Word of God. They must believe in the Word of God. They must keep the Word of God. They must live the Word of God. They must let the Word of God lead their lives. Because that's what the Word of God is. So they represent our children. You know, friends, sorry, you can go back now. You know something, parents? You know, what we believe in a child is what the child will become. Listen very carefully. I've served in the children's ministry almost all my entire life. All right? Whatever you believe in a child, what is what they're going to become. Whether they're special kids, normal kids, whatever kids, if you believe that they can sit there and worship the Lord, if you believe that they can remember God's word, if you believe that they can live God's word, they will become that. If you believe they are the giant slayers, then they will become giant slayers. Because that's what it is. You speak faith into the child. Don't speak fear. Don't speak intimidation. Don't speak failures. Don't speak your irritation. Don't speak your distraction. Don't speak your kid. You're too young to know everything. Never speak those words. Believe in them. We talk about coming to church. Yeah. Sometimes we think kids are a distraction. Isn't your handphone a distraction to you? Isn't the person who's sleeping beside you snoring a distraction? I mean, come on, guys. We're adults. Don't take it out on the kids. They got to be in the house of God. They got to be living, breathing the Word of God as you are. They got to be here worshiping God as you are. What's wrong with the kids being in the church? Why didn't you bring your kids to church? If they make some noise, so what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord of the earth. Your kids is included. This is our kids. You want to raise giant slayers? Giant slayers live, breathe, and grow in the church. They don't live, breathe, grow in the world. You want the kids to grow in the church? You let them be in the church. You can't expect the kids to come to church when they are teenagers, when they have never seen church. What is church about when they are kids? You can't expect a young adult to be strong in the world when they can't even come to church when they are teenagers or a young kid. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? We expect our kids to know God's word, to live by God's word so that they can have strong foundation in their life. But then it's okay, don't come to church, never mind. How do we raise giant slayers then? Cannot. Some people ask me, wow, your kids so good, no? They're not automatically like that, nah. I tell you first. Kids will always be kids. They will drive you up the wall. They'll make you angry and frustrated. Have I been angry and frustrated? You bet. You don't believe me, you ask my kids. I can. Some people tell me, oh, Pastor Andy, you're very gentle and all that. Yeah, to you lah. My kids cannot, man. Because it drives me up the wall. But yet, I believe they are the giant slayers. They're the next giant slayers. We must believe in this. You must believe. You know why? We start young. So young. The moment they can speak, those of you who just married or about to have kids, listen to my advice. Now I can say that because I'm a father. Listen to this. The moment they can speak, teach them the word of God. Tell them, this is how you pray. Don't expect them to pray a long, long, long prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for the food. I love you, Jesus. Cukup. Start with that. Start with just memorizing short scripture verses. It's good. Why? Built into the spirit, man. It does something in your spirit and the kid's spirit that you cannot see. You cannot see it. Your foundation is not built one day, 2 days, 3 days. It's built over years. You better start early as you can. And in this church, for as long as I remember, the council of this church, the elders of this church, the leaders and the pastors of this church believes in the children and the teenagers and the young adults. Every generation will believe in them. But us as parents, start young, start small. I want to show you a video clip, okay? It is, to me, this one you can say is cute, okay? But it's cute. This is Ariel when she just learned how to talk. Okay, and she's about, I think, two, a bit more than two. Okay, watch this.
Mommy, Lord said the hour is built over, but the Lord, the little heart, the animal, the thing, so seven, ha!
Now, again, it's not about my kid, okay? It's about to encourage. We have a generation to raise, okay? Parents, if you have young kids, this is a roadmap for you. Can your kids sit in the church? You bet. I bet. I believe. Whether you want to believe it or not, I can't help it. But I tell you something, this church believes in this kid sitting in church. This church believes in raising young children, teenagers. Why? They will be our next giant slayers. They are our sons and daughters. They will be the people who rise up just like the four mighty men slay one giant at a time. They slay giants all over their places. Whether they're at school, whether they're at home, whether they go to tuition centers, they will be giant slayers. You don't have to worry. God's word is His promise. Some of you parents come and talk to me about your kids who have grown up and was led astray and all that. To me, is this. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Think of it this way, parents. Sometimes when we drive up to Genting Highlands, all the swerving in the corner and the turns of the road makes you feel like car sick. Makes you feel like you want to vomit.
even after that, you can stop by the roadside, get off the car for a while. When it's done, you get back in the car and you continue to drive on. One day, you will still reach the destination despite all your sicknesses, despite all your throwing up or whatever it is. And sometimes life is like that. Whatever happens to us in life, it does not water down the Word of God. It doesn't break God's promises. It doesn't break God's pattern even. It stays. It has stayed for thousands of years and it will continue to stay forevermore. God's promises, same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His promise is yes and amen. Believe in the Word of God. Just like how you would do anything, that's how you would do everything. If you believe that in the Word of God, that's how you will live the Word of God. You know, I want to end with this picture. We just got this. Guess who lah, huh? You know who, huh? You better know who. Even at the back also, you must know who, huh? Now, Pastor posted this picture in the pastor's group, and I saw it. I thought like, wow, God. I don't know about you. It's a beautiful picture. You know, of David slaying the giant Goliath, and now the next giant slayers are picking up. They're stopping at the pier. That's for them. See the horizon? See the mountains? See the sky? It is for the next senior pastors. It will be Pastor Isaac. It will be Pastor Mike, Pastor Tebby. It will be for Pastor Fergus. It will be for Pastor Wong Sam Kyung. They are taking from that pier to wherever God leads them. They are the next giant slayers of SIBKL. And I believe with all my heart, this church will continue to thrive because the Word of God is here. Because we believe in the Word of God. We build this church with word, worship, prayer. We build your lives with word, worship, prayer. The leadership of this church is about word, worship, prayer. That's what it's about. Today, I'm just going to give a very simple call to those of you, if you have kids, your own children. I pray today you stand in the gap. Whether your kids have grown up, whether they've gone to overseas or they're back, whether they're with you or not with you, that's not the point. The point is you stand in the gap. Why? We want to bring in the giant slayers home. Number one, wherever they are at, they are still a giant slayer. No matter what they have done in their lives, they are still a giant slayer. Why? The Word of God was put into their lives when they were here. I believe they will turn back. I believe God will pull one by one back. I believe God will turn them back and say, hey, you remember what was it like when you had fully lived in faith in my promises? That's what it's about. Those of you who have kids, this is what you should pray for. This is what you should stand in the gap for. Amen. Now, shall we all rise together? It's not an emotional altar call thingy. It's a very, very clear cut in your head, in your mind. If you today, you know of a young person, whether it's child, teenager, whoever, if you know them by name, this is the time you make where you're standing as a personal altar. Today's prayer altar call is not for you. It's for you to pray for somebody that you know is not no longer in church. We're calling back the giant slayers back to the church. All right, would you stand wherever you are? That will be the altar. And you will cry out to God for the people who's not in the church anymore, especially young people. Okay, hallelujah. We're going to sing this song. And this song, I tell you something, God is so amazing. God is so good. This song is a song that I sing when I was a boy, when I was a little kid. And this song is one of my favorite songs. Because why? Simple. but yet it speaks so much to me when I was growing up. And I was so glad that when Pastor Aaron chose this song, it's like, ah, I want this song. Because why? If I can stay here on the stage today and share with you what God has done, I believe every child can also be the same. God will keep them in His hands. God will pull them back from wherever they are. Amen. Let's sing the song. Let's worship together. And then we're going to open a time. You pray wherever you're at. Okay, go ahead.
Glory to the Lamb.
We give you all the glory, Lord.
Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. The Lamb upon the voice in praise, the Lamb upon the throne.
Glory,
glory,
just worship the Lord.
Glory,
lift up your hands, people.
Glory to the Lamb.
Oh, glory,
yes, Jesus.
Glory,
sing glory,
glory.
Glory, glory to the Lamb, for you are glorious and worthy to be praised, the Lamb upon the throne, and unto you we'll lift our voice in praise.
As the song goes on right now, I want you to think of the person that you want to pray
glory.
For. All right? Whether it's your college friend, whether it's your young glory. Working adult friend, whether it's children, whether it's friend, your own
glory.
Kids. Pray for your own kids. Pray them in back to the house of God. Because they are the next giant slayers. They are the people of God. They are the children, the sons and the daughters of SIBKL. You pray. You intercede. You stand in the gap.
Glory,
oh, glory to you, God. Lift up your voices. Oh, Kiriyana Baki Seriyakaro. Lord Father, I bring every single child, every single young person who's in this house, who has the Word of God, who has a foundation built in them right now. Lord, you work your way. You work a miracle. Holy Spirit, you draw them back right now, back to the house of God, because they belong to Jesus. They belong to the SIBKL house. Every darkness, every stronghold, every chains, every grip of the enemy, we break its power right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, let the people go. Let my generation go. Let my children go. Let my young people go. Let my young ones go. Because we are to come to celebrate unto the Lord what you have done for us. Right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, you are glorious. You are worthy to be praised, oh God. We want our children, our sons and daughters, to be in the house of God, to worship the Lord. Because God, you are in this house. You are the God of David. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, we praise you, Jesus, for you are glorious. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up the person that you have in mind. Yes, Lord. The Lamb upon the throne. Oh, yes, Jesus. And unto you,
we lift our voice in praise. The Lamb upon the throne.
Right now, I want to open up this time. Parents, you have children, and you know it's at the end of the road for you. Don't know what to do anymore. God is here. God is for you still. I would like to invite you to just come forward so that we can pray together with you. All right, parents, if you know you have kids, or you know a special child that needs a turning back to God, your own child, I'm talking about your own biological children, not somebody else's children, your own kids, I want you to just quietly make your way to the front. The leaders will pray together with you. Because why? Prayer breaks everything. Prayer makes the difference. When we pray, God moves. All right? Those of you, just come forward. If you have kids, you want to pray for them. You want them to come back to the Lord. Whatever it is, just come. Come forward and allow the Lord to just minister to you. Minister to what you have done. Don't take it out on yourself. Don't think that I have not done enough. Don't think about guilt. Don't think about shame. But think, God, I need your help and I'm crying out to you. Because my children, they are precious. They are your child. They are the sons and the daughters of God. They are sons and daughters of this house. Come forward. We want to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rest of you, stretch out your hands to all the people in front here. Go ahead and just pray in tongues. Those of you who know how to pray in tongues, just pray it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.